All right. Well, folks who are regular listeners know our devotion to Connecticut's farmers and agriculture in general. I've been honored a number of times as a Connecticut Agricultural Journalist of the Year. I am so pleased to have gotten to know each Commissioner of Agriculture over these 30-plus years on the program. Commissioner Brian Hurlburt is no different. He is with us on the line this morning from Hartford, and we've got a lot to talk about. So, Brian, thank you so much for being part of the program and for all the work that you and your team do at the Department of Agriculture.
Thanks, John, and thanks for your continued attention to the agriculture community and how people in Connecticut can support our local farmers.
And we're going to give them a ton of ways, as well as to help educate them, because later on in the program, we're going to be introducing the first of around a dozen different Connecticut women farmers or women in agriculture, because here we are, 2026, we find ourselves in the International Year of the Woman Farmer. So we'll talk about that in a few minutes, but let's refocus on our farmers markets, because that's really a great way for people to get to know a lot of farmers. It's one thing to get out there in the car and drive around farm stand to farm stand, but these farmers markets bring the farm to the people. And not only that, they provide a lot of people with a lot of access to important nutrition. So let's hear what we need to know about the nutrition program as you stand today.
Yeah, well, we are, you know, with all that snow on the ground, not everybody is thinking about what's going to happen in the spring and in the summer. But along with Connecticut's farmers, us here at the Department of Agriculture are certainly planning and thinking about what we can do, how we can build on previous successes, and what the next steps are. Our Farmers Market Nutrition Program is just, quite honestly, an amazing program. We are doing an amazing job working with farmers market managers. Connecticut's farmers, our partners at the Department of Public Health Women and Infant Children Program, and our senior distribution centers who are distributing cards to eligible seniors across the state. And when I came into this agency, you know, FMNP, which is what we call a Farmers Market Nutrition Program, was always a bright point. You know, it was something that we took extreme pride in because we are connecting families who have food needs and seniors who have food needs, income eligible, to be able to purchase at full price at a farmer's market with the same experience that any other consumer in the state of Connecticut would have, some amazing produce and products. And so we have over the years thought about how can we improve on this experience? How can we improve on the reach? How can we improve on the numbers and the redemption? And so that started a couple years ago. We were one of eight states in the nation to receive a grant to transition from a paper voucher program, which is clunky, kind of awkward, not the easiest to manage from a farmer's perspective or from a department perspective. And quite honestly, pulling out vouchers at a farmer's market, if you're with a family trying to manage the kids and count your vouchers, it's not really great for the consumer either.
Yeah.
We moved to a debit card style. So nobody knows that you're paying with a Farmers Market Nutrition Program card. Everybody just knows that you're swiping your card just like any other consumer. So what a great difference in the experience. But then in 2024, at the Farmers Market Managers Meetup, when we went over the FMNP program of the market managers, I put a challenge out there. I said, you know, we've been doing about $600,000, $650,000 every year through FMNP. And that's amazing, right? But $650,000 worth of food that is being purchased to families and seniors that need it. But it's also $650,000 to Connecticut farmers at market prices to support their business. I said, let's do $1 million. What is it going to take to get $1 million of FMNP redeemed this season? And you think about, we've got over 100 markets. We're doing this for, you know, 10, 13 weeks, you know, sometimes longer.
Not an unreasonable challenge.
Right. I mean, it's a bit, when you think 650 to a million, boy, that's a lot. But when you break it down into components, it's actually like, okay, this is a couple hundred dollars per market per week and maybe $1,000 for our bigger markets. So how do we improve our messaging? How do we improve the user experience? How do we build on it? And in 2024, I'm so proud that this happened with my team for residents and for our farmers. We broke that $1 million. We did it. So we improved by about 50% performance increase from the 2023 year. Now, John, not a lot of agencies can talk about, you know, improving outreach, productivity, and impact by 50% in the Connecticut Department of Agriculture in close partnership, arm in arm with our farmers market managers, our farmers, the people at WIC, and our senior distribution partners did that. And that's amazing. And when you think about all the other challenges we had in 2024, the weather, the disaster that happened in August in parts of the state, you know, that is money needed by the farmers to support their businesses. So, you know, kudos to all of our partners and the team at the department for doing that and for realizing we can do stretch goals. We can do hard things in this process.
Yeah.
And in 2025, we came in just under $1 million. So we had the second best year in the Farmers Market Nutrition Program history. So back to back, two amazing years. We didn't slip a lot. And now we're saying, okay, how do we use those experiences to get back up to that $1 million and beyond that $1 million? How can we make sure that we are learning from our experience and improving the opportunity for Connecticut farmers and residents to take advantage of those dollars that are available. I'm so proud of that. You and I could talk about this for the rest of your program, but we've got a lot of other things to cover.
Oh, no, it's exciting, though. Now, quickly, any input, advice, or anything to say about what's going on or not coming or coming from Washington?
You know, they haven't changed anything on FMNP.
Right.
So there's a lot of concern. There's a lot of angst because we know that changes can happen quickly from USDA out to the field. But I think, you know, knock on wood, I don't want to jinx anything here. I think everybody realizes the complete value that FMNP delivers. And farmers are looking for markets. The secretary talks about this all the time, connecting consumers and farmers, making sure they're getting, you know, the market price for their products because they need a market price. So I am hopeful that the federal government maintains that commitment. If they want to expand it, we could certainly use some more federal dollars. Sure. The Connecticut program is a mix of state and federal dollars. But I think it's a tremendous program to build on. And I obviously am biased on this.
Yeah.
But I think we do a great job in Connecticut. And we've got over, 100 markets and hundreds of partners that are working on this.
Yeah. And I'm sure almost all of those partners are aware, but it would be remiss on my part to not mention the next Farmers Market Manager meetup, because that's coming up on Tuesday, February 24th, 8:30 a.m. up at the Lyceum in Hartford. And folks can register for that by February 13th. So we want to step up the a fair warning for folks who may be new to the farmers market management structure, that they can gain a lot by going to the 2026 Farmers Market Manager Meetup. And in order to get more information on that, you just need to contact one of your colleagues, Aaron Windham, erin.windham@ct.gov. And I'll just throw one more thing out. We mentioned earlier about the, bringing the farms to the people. And the one thing that these farmers market help also do environmentally is save people from having to go from farmers market or farm stand to farm stand. It saves from fossil fuel being burned to get vegetables and fruits and other agricultural products up into Connecticut from places as far as halfway across the world. So, speaking of international, here we are, 2026, the International Year of the Woman Farmer. We've got our first guest coming up in just a little while, we're pleased to start this series with your support and blessing. And thank you and your team for helping me showcase these fantastic women farmers. I understand you're hard at work putting Connecticut on the national map when it comes to the celebration of this International Year of the Woman Farmer.
Well, I don't want to share with your listeners and let you do the opening, but I am the first guest you have to highlight this program is just such an amazing individual and farmer and farm family. I have enjoyed my visits to her farm. I have taken my family and my extended family to her farm. It delivers joy every time we go. The atmosphere is amazing. The product is wonderful. It's a real pleasure that she gets to be the first one, given that how hard she's been working over the past couple of years on a farm transition and how successful she's been and how humble she has been about how her success and what an amazing job she's done. So that's going to be a great segment, and I hope people tune in. But yeah, we have, you know, when we think about farms in Connecticut, you know, there's an image that some people bring up, and I want to just pull that image down and say 41% of Connecticut farmers are women farmers. 41%, over 3,800 farmers in Connecticut are female farmers. So, like, that's a huge amount of women in this industry who are making business decisions, who are marketing their product, who are in the fields, in the greenhouses, in the barns, making sure that Connecticut residents have great products to have. And so, long overdue, if you ask me, that we celebrate these women individuals in their farm businesses and elevate their stories for everybody to be aware of. And we are actively soliciting. If you have a female farmer that is in your family, is a friend, that you're a customer of, send their nomination in to us so we can highlight them. You know, this is not something, you know, that we're just kind of passively like, oh, if we get something, you know, if we get a nomination, we'll put it on Facebook. And, you know, no, we want and we are seeking nominations so that we can keep our social medias filled with these stories, that we can highlight them through media partners like you, John, and share out their stories, but also just give some long overdue recognition for these people who, you know, don't always get a thank you for the work that they do or to get recognized for the hours that they put in to make sure that we have all these great Connecticut grown products. So we're working with our national partner at the National Association of State Departments of Agriculture, USDA, to get these nominations not only across the Connecticut media, but get them and hopefully elevate them to the national media, because we're really proud of the work that they do, and they deserve it.
So folks can just go to the CT.gov, the Department of Agriculture's page on the state website, and begin their journey toward nomination. We'll end this piece of the conversation with my shout out to a dear, dear friend, Shirley Ferris, not just Connecticut's, but one of the nation's first commissioners of agriculture, and Fairfield County's last dairy farmer, a fantastic job on her part, a great predecessor of yours.
Yes.
Mr. Hobart.
And I will say, just to build off that real quickly before we transition, we have another female dairy farmer in Fairfield, Connecticut, Shaggy Coos, New and Beginning Farmer. They're doing great work. They've got a small herd. They do some really, really fantastic products. If you're in Easton, there's a whole bunch of farms you can stop by, but make sure you swing by and pick up some of their ice cream or gelato as a special treat.
Sure. And we could do another whole segment just on dairy farming, but it's great to see that, dairy farming in the boutique farm atmosphere is still going strong here in Connecticut. So, the other thing that is going to be going stronger is the pocketbook and the wallet of the farmer, thanks to recent action on the part of the governor in regards to the, implication of farmland assessments and its ties to farmland preservation.
Yeah, and this is a really timely and important topic too, John. You know, we run the Department of the Office of Policy Management posts every 5 years farmland use values, recommended land use values for towns, so that we have a consistent statewide rate for farmland, forest land, open space, maritime heritage land, which are our shellfish beds, essentially. And that's really important because as the 1963 law states, there is an inherent public interest in making sure that Connecticut landowners, farmers have a benefit to keeping that land open, not just as a buffer against development, commercial or residential, but because we need food and there are ecological and environmental benefits. Every 5 years since that law passed in 1963, the Office of Policy and Management has reported these numbers in consultation with the Department of Agriculture. That's where we come in. We did, working with the Office of Policy and Management, the Zwick Center, and an appraiser, solicit over the course of about 5 months during 2025 a survey for farmers and landowners to fill out to gain insight and facts on the ground as to what those land use values are, current use, not highest and best use, which is what a normal municipal appraisal would do. I'll say that we didn't get a lot of submissions back. We had a very low response rate. In addition to the low response rate, we had some responses that it contained no data. So if somebody submitted a survey that said, yes, I rent land from a landowner, but I'm not going to tell you how much I pay for that land, which is not uncommon, kind of as feedback. But an appraisal service needs to use the data that they received. And so when you have, a faulty data or a small data set, you're going to get results that don't match the actual use on the ground across the state. So we posted the numbers back in October. OPM posted numbers back in October as they're statutorily required to do. And over the course of the past couple months, we heard some feedback and some questions about it. And we went back to the appraiser and we dug in a little bit deeper on some of the questions. And the appraiser essentially said, well, there's a couple ways we could have done this and I chose this way, but yes, we could do this a different way. So we asked them to run the numbers in an alternative method that still is, a sound appraisal methodology. We released those numbers in the beginning of January, and there was a lot of concern and questions, rightly so. So working with OPM and the governor's office, the governor did last week send a directive to the Office of Policy Management to rescind the revised 2025 values, reuse the 2020 values, notice all of the assessors in all of the towns that the recommended land use values will be the 2020 values, and then directed the Office of Policy and Management to work with the Department of Agriculture and stakeholders to determine a better process and methodology to get better and more data points and information to redo this process, recognizing that, even though we've used a similar process and the same methodology for the past 60 years, maybe that's not up to speed anymore. And we should take the opportunity to revise it. So we are working with OPM. We have received a number of nominations from different organizations, farmer organizations, municipal organizations. And it's our goal that we'll be sharing out working group dates and convening that working group to dig in on this question as to how we can do get a better response and more information from landowners and farmers about the land use values. And I think I'll pause here, John, because I'm sure you've got a follow up, but we can talk about this a little bit more.
Yeah, no, this is great. As always, Brian, we share this passion for agriculture, and there's never enough time to talk about all the things there are to talk about. I'm sure I'll be catching up with you on Ag Day at the Capitol coming up in a month and a half or so. The ability to preserve these farms and these farmlands because the farmers can afford to keep them is critically important. When you think of deforestation for development and the damage that it does environmentally, you also can look at it as, farmers having to sell off land because they can't afford to keep it.
Right.
That ends up going to developers, and it has this impact on statewide soil quality. And little by little, it eats away. Yes. Yeah. And quality of life, too. in our community. So great work on your part. Kudos to the governor for realizing there's a better way. And all good. We appreciate you joining us this morning. I promise to get you back onto the track by 10:30. So appreciate your time. When we talk again, lots to talk about with veterans and aquaculture and young farmers. But we will catch up with you and talk more soon. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, John. A lot of stuff to follow up on. You know, we can do that before Ag Day, and certainly at Ag Day, I'd love to reconnect with you. But your next segment is going to put a smile on your face while you have that conversation. But as you think about it during the course of the day, you're just going to realize what a wonderful person you had a chance to connect with when you're done with that conversation. So good luck with that. Mm-hmm. I'm very excited that you've taken this much time and attention to Connecticut agriculture and all the things that are going on in it, and appreciate that, and looking forward to our next one.
Yes, yes. And folks who are listening will also have the opportunity to meet our new state troubadour, who was just named a few days ago as well. So we've got a great rest of the show. We hope people stick with us. But in the interim, Commissioner of Connecticut's Department of Agriculture, Brian Herbert, always great to talk to you. Thank you so much for your time today.